In the name of our ascended Lord Jesus Christ, and dear brothers and sisters in Christ, have you ever wondered why we call this place Mount Olive? If I had to guess why a congregation a little bit south of here called Riverview was called Riverview, well, I'd have to guess that they're in a neighborhood that gives them a nice view of the river, and so their congregation's called Riverview. But I've never seen any olive trees growing in our little Mount Olive neighborhood, nor downtown where the original location was, nor is this region especially mountainous. So why do we call Mount Olive Mount Olive? Well, as was the case for many congregations, they were named for geographical places in the Holy Land in Israel that had important significance. And so to this day, we have congregations with names like Bethlehem over in Hortonville, or Bethany in Appleton, or Mount Calvary in Manasseh. So what is it that was important and significant that happened on the Mount of Olives? Well, there were lots of things. The Mount of Olives was the mountain right next to the city of Jerusalem. So there was like the city of Jerusalem on Mount Zion, we might say, and then there's a valley in between, and the Mount of Olives is right next door. And Jesus would often retreat to the Mount of Olives to pray, like the time on the night that he was betrayed when he took the disciples there, and there in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed with the disciples and the disciples fell asleep. And then later on, Judas came and betrayed Jesus. That all happened somewhere on the Mount of Olives. But probably one of the most significant things that happens on the Mount of Olives, as you sang in our last hymn, the Holy Apostolic Band stands on the Mount of Olives as they watch Jesus ascend into heaven. And so the name of our congregation, Mount Olive, bears a special connection to the festival that we celebrate today, the Ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. On the very top of the Mount of Olives, you see that steeple with the shiny cross at the top. That's the Church of the Ascension. Now, nobody knows if that's exactly where Jesus ascended from, but you got to put a church on top of the Mount of Olives, and so there it stands. Mount Olive bears a special connection with the Ascension, and so it is on your way out. If you look today or look right now, you'll see the original stained glass window bearing the likeness of Jesus with his hands raised, blessing his followers as he ascends into heaven. Now, we heard this account of the Ascension two different times in both the first chapter of Acts and also Luke chapter 24, and both of those accounts were written by the same guy, by St. Luke. The first one giving the account, and then the next one kind of recapping the account as Luke starts episode number 2 as he writes the book of Acts. Now, the text that we meditate on today is those words from Luke chapter 24, where Jesus is instructing the disciples, giving them final preparations for his ascension, giving them words that give so much meaning to their lives and to our lives in the days following after his ascension. So that's our theme for today. Ascension gives our lives both meaning and mission. First of all, we take a look at the meaning that Jesus assigns as he looks forward to his day of ascension. Jesus sums up everything that was written. And if there was anybody who is extremely qualified to boil it all down and to tell us the meaning of it all, of the Old Testament and everything that had been written, it would be Jesus, the Word made flesh and the author of life. And so he instructs the disciples, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He opened their minds to see that it had been accomplished, that he had completed and fulfilled all of these things, and so he was ready to ascend to his throne on high. To disciples who were still a little bit hazy about why Jesus ever had to die anyway, or when he was going to restore the kingdom finally that they were waiting for, or which of them was the greatest, Jesus takes this opportunity to simplify it, to boil it down into one simple sentence that gives the bottom line, the meaning of it all. This is what Jesus says. This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. That is the one sentence summary of all 66 books of the Old Testament that said things like this from Psalm chapter 16. You will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. You make known to me the path of life. There we see already in the Old Testament Psalms, the resurrection of Jesus is prophesied, that Jesus will see the light of life, that he will not see decay. There we see the resurrection promise, but what about the reason that Jesus had to suffer and die in the first place? Well, there we see the Old Testament telling us in Isaiah chapter 53, words we often read on Good Friday. Isaiah says, it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. So the suffering and death of the Son of God was caused by nothing other than the rebellion of his creation, by the wicked and violent masses of the world that we see in action to this very day, and by you and me, the chief of sinners in our own individual rights. That is the reason that Jesus had to suffer and die. That's the reason that he had to be oppressed and afflicted on our behalf. And so the message of Jesus suffering and dying and rising has always been accompanied by a call to repentance. We see such a call to repentance connected closely with the resurrection of Jesus in a passage from Hosea that just has never really struck me until I saw it in preparation for today. Hosea says, come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. He has injured us, but he will bind up our wounds. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will restore us, that we may live in his presence. There we can see, as Hosea calls us to repentance, we see who it is that stands in our place, who is injured on our behalf, and then on the third day was revived and restored so that we may live in his presence. That's how Jesus boiled it down. That's how Jesus explained to them the meaning behind it all. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. Repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Now, as Martin Luther began to focus in the church, to refocus in the church on that truth of repentance, he wrote in the very first of his 95 theses, the thing that kind of kicked it all off, when our Lord Jesus Christ said, repent, he willed the entire life of the believer to be one of repentance. Now, if our whole life is to be one of repentance, we had better understand what that term is talking about, what it means to repent. And so Luther explains in his catechism, he describes repentance as daily by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the power instilled in us in baptism, taking our sinful nature with all its evil deeds and desires and drowning it to put it to death, so that a new person may daily arise to live before Christ. Another Christian author, a man named Matt Papa, he's one of the hymn writers in our new blue hymnal. He describes repentance this way. Christian repentance is a turning away from the world and all its pleasures toward Christ and all of his superior pleasures. It is a decisive, aggressive, blood earnest looking at Christ to turn from sin and to return to the Lord. Just as the prophet Hosea called us, that is the meaning of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. That is at the heart and core of our lives every day, dying and rising in Jesus. So before his ascension, Jesus crystallized this meaning for our lives as he gives us the meaning of daily repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And from that meaning, he gives us our mission. Jesus told the disciples that repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. People need to know what the meaning of life is. People need to know about the suffering and dying of the Messiah. People need to know about repentance and forgiveness And believe it or not, they're more curious than you actually might think. Just Google, what is the meaning of life? And there are 16 billion search results that come up for that inquiry. If I have my math right, that's 2 search results for every 1 person that stands upon the face of the globe. People are curious. They want to know what the meaning of life is, and Jesus makes that our mission, to witness and to tell them. Now, here's my question and my challenge for you. Do you really want the people in your life who are wondering what the meaning of life is to find out from Wikipedia while we stand around and talk about the weather or the Packers? Or do you want to take a crack at it like Jesus commands? When you've got a friend she's searching for a new job and she's wondering what her purpose in life really is, or when you've got a friend whose family member just died and they are searching for the meaning of it all, trying to find something in their grief. Or when you got a friend who just can't seem to find a reason to get out of bed in the morning, you can share meaning and mission with them. You can share the forgiveness of sins with them. That's the meaning and the mission that Jesus gives to us as he makes us witnesses. And I guarantee you that whatever unrehearsed words that kind of stumble out of your mouth and fit the situation and meet that person with grace will be better than anything that they can read on Wikipedia. The answer, one of those answers up there is to achieve biological perfection. That is not the meaning of life that you want your friend to find. Have them find it from you. It really is a beautiful mission that Jesus gives us, one that makes life worth the trouble. No matter what role or relationship we have with someone, it brings significance to every word that you speak. You know those conversations that you have when you go up to pay for your gas or your snacks, and the clerk says, "Well, how are you today?" And you say, "Good. How are you?" And they say, "Good." What could you do with a conversation like that to make it into more than just small talk that means nothing? Jesus gives us a mission that brings significance to every word that we speak as we spend unhurried time listening to people, finding out about their lives, looking for ways to sprinkle in the message of Jesus and point them to our Savior. can be in big ways or small ways. It can be just sprinkling in a few words here or there, or it can be walking a whole extra mile with them as you look to help them in a dramatic way. A few months ago, we hosted a workshop here called Everyone Outreach. It was a chance for all of us to individually refocus in on our Ascension Day mission and to see it in our lives every day. Since then, I've been seeing amazing things. I've been hearing amazing conversations that you've had with people as you made the conversation last just one more question. As you looked for a way to connect with people, as you heard their story and you listened and you met them with grace. And I've heard you come and say what a joyful experience it's been for them and for you. The mission that Jesus gives us is one that brings joy both to the people that find forgiveness and find repentance, and also to you as you share it with them. As you are busy about the mission that Jesus gives us, it may take a little bit of pushing past the fear of rejection. It may take a little bit extra time, a little hassle, a little sacrifice. But as you do it, you will soon come to find that it is really no sacrifice at all. This is what our lives are really all about. Professor Mark Pouschkin, one of our professors at Martin Luther College, has such a way with words. I commend all of his books to you, like our new devotional commentary, Our Worth to Him, that goes along with your blue hymnal. He writes this and sums up this point in one of his older books called More Prepared to Answer. There he writes, "There is only one up to the task of supplying meaning or satisfying the hunger for significance. I look at Jesus dying for me, rising for me. I know who he is, and I love him. And I know what my life is from you, for you, to you, my dear God. This is meaning, O Lord, to know how you love me, to take what I've been given to do, and to do it for the love of you." Ascension gives our lives that meaning and that mission. And sometimes we need a little bit of prodding to get busy doing. Just like the apostolic band of disciples stood on the Mount of Olives, looking up into the sky, wondering what they should do now. And the angels had to come and tell them, "Why are you looking into the sky? Don't you remember what Jesus said?" So those disciples could look over at the city of Jerusalem, and they could remember, oh yeah, Jesus said, start there in Jerusalem, and then Judea, and then Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. Well, if we come to our Mount of Olives, where do you think Jesus wants us to start? Over there in Jerusalem? I don't think so. Jesus wants us to start here, in our neighborhood, with those houses, with the people that live right next door, with the people that live right next door to you, people that sleep every night of their life within 75 feet of your pillow, people who sit every day 5 feet away from you in a cubicle. That's where Jesus wants us to start, with the people we live with and know with. Jesus wants us busy about our mission. Now, at Everyone Outreach, we had this little activity, this little exercise where you would take a card. It was called your Everyone Outreach Accountability Card. And they had these cool little self-laminating things so that you wouldn't lose it, so that it wouldn't get lost in the wash. And on it, you were supposed to write like two or three things that you were going to do to be busy about the mission of Jesus. So the one that I wrote on the top of my Everyone Outreach Accountability Card was this: have my neighbors over for a cookout. Have them over so that I could learn to know their names and remember them, so that I could know something about our lives. And none of it said, bring them to church on Sunday morning, Maybe that comes down the way, but in order to ever get to that point, you probably want to know who your neighbors are. So that's the one that I've got at the top of my list, and cookout season is now here, and it's time for me to stop staring at the four walls of my office and get busy and walk up the driveway and invite them to a cookout. Now, maybe you think, I'm not so great with the planning and the cooking. Every time I grill, I burn the brats. Well, if that's the case for you, we've got one in the works for you as well. Mount Olive Family Fest is coming. Outdoor worship on the front lawn with the picnic to follow, a cookout and the bounce houses and courses and the whole nine yards. An easy thing for you to invite somebody in your life that you love and know to come to your Mount of Olives. Let's take the mission that Jesus has given us to do and do it for the love of him. His name, amen.
So much for spending some time with us and worshiping with us online today. We are so glad you fed your faith through the work of Mount Olive, and we'd love to know that you fed your faith. So head on over to MountOliveAppleton.com and click the online friendship register, or just click the link in the description here. It takes about 1 minute to fill out. Thanks so much for spending time with us. God's blessings on your day.